You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 23. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were the all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister. And may it please our wonderful Lord to bless this, the reading of his holy word. In Christ's name, amen.
Father God, again, we want to pause afresh to acknowledge this privilege that we have here and for this nation that you've made possible for this quietness and rest here. We do look to you now for the grace that will enable us to worship in spirit and truth as you cleanse us and sanctify us, the people energized from on high. Rebuke the evil one as you honor your Son now. Warm our hearts and allow us to know it's good to be here. We want to thank you, Lord, for this cleansing and sanctifying work at this time, that your purposes be accomplished right here and right now. And this is because we ask it in the name for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Last week we dealt with something very foundational that leads us to believe that before too awful far down the road, that we will be called to the place of our citizenship, to meet him there. This body of our troubles, our humiliation, we liken to his. That'll be a glorious day, a day of rejoicing. But the most fundamental thing about this is that this is the most staggering truth if it really takes hold of you. I mentioned it last week, but I want to emphasize it today before we get into the lesson. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now, this is very unusual inasmuch as we are the enemy. We are the rebels, not God. But in Christ, he poured out his justice, his wrath, his wholeness upon his Son. And now he is satisfied. He is reconciled. As far as your sin is concerned, he's completely satisfied. God was in Christ reconciling the world, that includes you, unto himself. And the reason he could do this, because he who had no sin, he became sin, in order that I might be clothed in the very righteousness of Christ. In the light of that truth, these truths I just mentioned, the challenge goes out to you now. God is reconciled. Now he says, be ye reconciled, you who are enemies. There are gauntlets to throw down peace. The war's over. For 4,000 years or better, man and God were at enmity. Man was the enemy. And God, through teachings of the law, showing the sin, awful sinfulness of sin, at long last justified his wholeness, poured out his wrath of a holy God upon his Son, and he's reconciled about the matter. The challenge is yours now. Be ye reconciled. See why I wanted that man to be here this morning. But coming to our lesson now in Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father. Remember, it was the Father who sent him. Which has made us, that word met means to be qualified. Those of us who responded. And we have been reconciled to God now. And the great mediator. God, the very God, on the one hand, stands as a mediator for God. On the other hand, as a man, he stands as our mediator. The God-man. You can see why it was so necessary for God to become a man. Because only God can communicate in fellowship with God. Sin severs that fellowship, you see. On the other hand, since he paid the price as the Son of Man, you see, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Be ye reconciled. See? That fact. And you've been, notice, giving thanks to the Father who hath made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, not in darkness. Why? Because he delivered us from the power of darkness. How does he do that? The Holy Spirit's come what? To guide you into all truth. The light, you see. And has translated us into the government of his dear Son. Whereas we were under the government of who? Satan. Therefore we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. This is the one where the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men, through the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creators, or all creation, or every creation. For in him, Christ, were the all things that are in heaven, they're in earth, visible and invisible. Whether be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, the all things were created through him and unto him. He's before all things. And by him, the all things consist or hang together. And he's the head of this corporate body that we belong to. The called out. Who is the first, or the headship, the firstborn from the dead, who really has now a man. Can you imagine that? Has eternal life. He is the head. He's the head of this new creation. that in all things he might have the preeminence. Why? Because it pleased the Godhead that in him should all the fullness dwell. Here's the paramour. See, this is why we sing that song every Sunday morning. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. He made peace. The war's over. See? Through the blood of his cross. And it keeps on cleansing. It just keeps on cleansing. It keeps on cleansing. So that the reconciliation stands. There's nobody's mad at anybody. So the next time you say out loud or to yourself, "Why me, Lord?" That's the old rebel, still hard. He's getting a bad deal. See? Quit using that phrase, "Why me?" Rather turn it into, "So Lord, thank you. Help me to understand that I might be exercised by this." You see? You want to be a winner? That's how to win. Beautiful, isn't it? He had made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile thee all things to himself. And by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in the heaven. You that were sometimes alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, assuming that you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby I, Paul, am made a minister. Now that's usually glossed over by a lot of people. You think we're the only people being reconciled? He said he is reconciling his order as it was in the beginning. This is why we have the definite article pointed out to us over and over again in this. Here's one of the great mysteries of iniquity. One of these days we're going to plumb that for you. It's something I'm working on now toward. All these things, because they just sound rather vague, they're left alone. And here's a passage that's left alone. One of the mysteries of the mystery of iniquity is that we have it demonstrated right from the outset. The first man born to Adam and Eve was Cain. And she thought that he was the promise of the seed of the woman. Because she said, "Jehovah has given me a son. He just promised that he'd give it to me." Little did she know, we read about this in 1 John, that he was out of that wicked one. He said to certain rulers in his day, particularly to the Pharisees and Sadducees, as a group, not individually, but as a group, "Ye are out of your father the devil. The things of your father we will do." God does not create sin. That comes where? Out of the wicked one. Here's the great mystery. And that's why we have the definite article here. Those things that come out of God, the creation is there. And only God knows that. I don't know. Nobody else does. He reconciled to himself. Do not rob you of making the choice at all. I think I illustrated that to you one day of a master chessman playing 10 players at one time. And as he watches the games, as they get down toward the end of it, he says, "This man, two moves to checkmate. One move to checkmate. Three moves to checkmate. Right on down the line. Now, he doesn't make them make those moves. They can sit there a long time. You know, chess is a strange game. Spend hours over a move. But regardless of where they move, the master knows, the master said, he knows how many moves they got. But he doesn't make them do it. Remember that in life, every time you make a move, is moving toward the final move. But it's your choice. He just knows. And think about this, beloved. When you have been reconciled to God, when you've met that side, the one side of the coin says, God is reconciled. The other coin is, be ye reconciled. That's the other side of the coin. And you've been reconciled. Peace, the war's over. Every sin is hidden in the deepest sea, never to be remembered against you. Is removed as far as the east is from the west. And so when you come to confess the second or third time the same sin, and you call attention to that to God and say, remember, Lord, I confessed this last week. He'll say to you, I don't remember. You see, he's moved himself into a sea of forgetfulness as far as your song. Incidentally, I made mention last week about that song. I wish somewhere there has to be a songbook somewhere. And the title of that song is, You Asked Me Why. We don't have it in our book. But, do we? What page is it? Well, let's don't get off on that right now. I've been looking for that song, but anyhow, somebody caught that picture before me and wrote a song about it. But anyway, what I'm saying to you, beloved, is a God who's qualified you for the government of his dear son, has translated you and transferred you into it. Now you're a witness for him. The decisions, the moves you make, like the chess player. You see? Somewhere down the line has to be an account of him. Because it's going to be a checkmate. Be careful how you move. You want a long life? Move with discretion. Don't move in a hurry. Unless the Lord should say to you, let's get this done in a hurry. He's not in a hurry. He's been waiting on you a long time. Don't be in a hurry. Haste makes what? Waste. Assuming that you continue with this, this is all ours. If it isn't just, if our faith is in vain, because we never really believed. Because God will cause the saint, the one who's moving, to persevere in spite of that. This is why it's necessary that the efficacy of the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing. Otherwise, you'd be gone. You see? This is the kind of God we worship. I so wanted that man. I guess the Lord intended Delaware to be here this morning, this Muslim. Because he's got a tender heart in spite of what he's been through. I caught that yesterday. And now, as wonderful as all that is, as you read on, now he's made something else known to us. We've been called not to the things of earth, as all the promises of God in the Bible speak about, but we've been called into his heavenly kingdom. in the very throne room itself, into the royal court. And I'll tell you, you sure don't look like royalty. And what God saw in you, I'll never know. I can understand my case, but not yours. You know. And you know, I mean to repeat this again too. Anything you think you have something that God can look on with favor, let me tell you this. In my short span of, and this is a short span of life down here when you consider it along with eternity, from the day I really received Christ, it's roughly 50 years ago, I won't say I've been walking with him because he's been dragging me along, kicking and screaming all the way. But you know, as I look at myself today, the old man that I am is no better today than he was 50 years ago. He's the same rotten person. He has the same lusts, the same hopes, the same ambitions after the flesh that I had then. God is absolutely through. And that old man is dead. There's nothing about him, but he stinks to high heaven. It's only the perfume of the Christ himself, and God can stand you. So that Paul could say at long last, is it the twilight of life? Whatsoever I counted gain, I now count it, I won't use the word, I just say dung, that's what the Bible says, but let your imagination run on what that really means. That's what your righteousness is worth. It's like the filthy rags that they wrapped leprosies in. But now, he's not dealing with that fella. There's a new creature he brought into existence, which was born not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, nor of blood, but of his spirit. So that one day, you'll have a spiritual body, just like his, in the place of your citizenship. Not down here, up there, which is far above all principalities and powers. This is the great secret that God has for us today. And it's a sad commentary to think that the rank and file of Christendom doesn't even know it. Isn't that sad? At the same time, look what a conviction that should make us realize how we fail God. We haven't told people about this. Simply because it's not pleasant to talk about it. Because people are so traditional in their thinking. They at the first crack of it, look at you as some foreign sectarian or something funny that's out of the mainstream. And this causes sufferings. If you suffered with him, though, you'll do what? You'll rule with him. So, when you holler out the next time, oh Lord, why me? I just can't take this anymore, you know. And when Christ himself, the Son of God, said he learned obedience, what? The things he suffered. How to misunderstand? Can you imagine God of glory taking on and associating himself with the fallen creature he came to save? What a distasteful thing it must be. So if you think there's anything about you, to tell you one wonderful thing, and I repeat it again, I've said it so many times, I feel like a fool to say it again, but I'm going to be a fool. Paul now talking, and let me emphasize the importance of Paul to you. not worshiping Paul, but we're giving him the place that God put him in. The Apostle Paul is to you exactly what Moses was to the children of Israel. Exactly. He's the agency that God has chosen to unveil his truths for us. Think about that. Now, he's taken you from the lowest ditch of what you are and put you in the realm of receiving the highest calling in all the Bible in his royal court. So when you suffer, if you know that, Paul said, I consider that the sufferings of this age are not even to be compared. And Paul was one of the persons, only person I know of, unless you consider John, who ever had a peek at the royal court. Paul did. He couldn't write about it. What John wrote about, he did write about it. Although there's a section in chapter 10 of Revelation where God said to John, seal up the book. Don't write this down. This may have been what Paul saw too. He couldn't talk about it either. It's just too much for the human mind to take in, I suppose. As glorious as the holy city is, and it is a glorious city, I can kind of understand a little bit about it. But what Paul saw, and I think perhaps John saw it too, you couldn't write about it. So, as the grinding gets grinder and the rubber meets the road, and you feel that God's forgotten, remember, he hasn't. That suffering is for one reason. God loves you. And all that he loves, he chastens. And that little word chasten doesn't mean he whips you or punishes you. It's the word child training. And it's because he loves you. And no child training from the present seems joyous. But afterward, it yields forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness, notice, to them who are exercised thereby. That's the God we worship. And that's the God that Christendom has failed, just like the Jews failed in their time too. Now, every once in a while, God does intervene with some new approaches to the same truths. And we have a week coming ahead of us for a man who's qualified to do just that. And what you get out of these meetings is exactly what you're going to look forward to in anticipation and pray for. This is a wonderful time for us to realize. And God is sending men our way of like mind and yet an independent mind, not following men, but following the Holy Spirit. And I believe he will bring to us some new light, some new thoughts, as the Holy Spirit guides him. At least I'm looking for it. And he's not a closed man, because he's coming to expect a blessing from us too, as well as give a blessing. So you pray about that. And when you have setbacks, as we had this morning when this man left here, and I had my heart bent on that, because I felt that if I presented the reconciliation to him, he couldn't leave here and not think about that. Because you see, he only has hope of his ability. And by now he realizes his ability will not suffice. It's failed him already. And the greatest challenge of his life, he sold his own country out, trusting the Soviets. This man was the advisor to the president of Afghanistan we had here. and he was three times to the Soviet Union. The last time was 20 days before they invaded. And he was sentenced to death as being an operative of the CIA, which he wasn't. And you know what? His very boy that he raised signed the death papers for him to be executed. Think about that. What that meant to him. If ever a man was crushed looking for his ability to get him out, he certainly would realize that it didn't work. And he listened. I wish you could have been there yesterday. I took the Bible in front of him. He took his finger. He went through every word we were reading carefully as Tommy was expounding on the book of Acts. So this man has a tender heart for truth. Pray about that fella. Let's see God do a marvelous job there. I believe he will. Well, our time's gone. And we're going to start a new series of studies after the conference. I think you'll really enjoy. I hope so. So pray for me. We got a lot of things to share with you in our calling, and that's what we need to be placing all our emphasis at this time, because the time is short. And pray for me. I need that. Now, Father God, into your hands we commit what we've talked about here, that it may fulfill your purpose, and we'll appreciate afresh the high calling that we have in Christ Jesus and the hope that lies ahead. We'll not be discouraged by any sufferings or anything that gets in the way, but we'll be encouraged and say, Lord, help me to learn what I need to learn as a result of this. Bless now to these ends, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.